Well, I'll confess here at the start, a lot of the research I did for this message I did before Helene came through. Our passage this morning from Numbers was our passage for last Sunday. And as I was wondering what we could reflect on this Sunday, the main topic felt relevant to us: dependence. I'd invite you all through the morning, but even through our reflection on dependence, to be curious about how this might have hit you before our county went through a disaster like the one that we have. And then be curious about how it's hitting you today. One observation that I've had is, all of a sudden, we've been through a week where many of the things that we tend to depend on are not available to us. Cell connection, Wi-Fi connectivity, being able to talk to people, make plans, can't depend on that. Water that may or may not give you E. coli coming from your faucet, can't depend on that. Being able to get from one place to another with enough gas, can't depend on that. Having access to the money in our bank accounts, can't depend on that. It's an interesting week to reflect on dependence. Now, today, we have an image of dependence in Moses. He's gritty. The story is specifically tailored in how it is communicated. It was relevant then at that time, and it is relevant now. It was relevant a week and a half ago, and it is relevant to us now, perhaps in ways that we'll feel differently. So this morning, like I said, we'll reflect on dependence, and then I'll leave us with one kind of old, but I think newly relevant idea. But I'll leave you on the edge of your seat for what that is. Numbers chapter 11. This is a story, you know, so Israel is, they've been encamped at Mount Sinai for a while, I think about a year. You know, they've been rescued out of Egypt, let out miraculously, provided for in all kinds of ways. And they're getting ready to start moving towards the promised land. And our story today is their first steps out into the wilderness. It does not go well. God had been miraculously providing for them, you know, pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, manna from heaven, and yet their appetite was gone for manna at this point. They were challenging Moses' leadership here in the wilderness, not for the first time, and certainly not for the last time. And they were wailing in their tent doorways, not just crying on their own about something, but making it as loud as possible to try to affect what was going on in their situation. It reminds me a little bit of something that we have going on in our home. Every morning, we have usually eggs on a bagel. And I'll make some scrambled eggs one day and put it out for my kids, and they'll say, "Oh, I wanted gooey eggs." Okay? Next day, I make some eggs, put them out on a bagel. "Oh, I really wanted scrambled eggs." All right. Eventually, after going around and around about this, I just get harried and frustrated. And to their complaining, trying to figure out their situation, I kind of have a short fuse and I can snap at them. It's kind of like that. Moses snaps. And yet his response, it's shocking to us. It should be shocking to us. But his response tells us a lot about dependence. He says, "Why me? What did I do to deserve this, God?" I'm going to read exactly some of what he says here. "What have I done to displease you, that you put the burden of these people on me?" Then he gets a little sarcastic. "Did I conceive these people? Should I be carrying them around like my baby, walking them to the promised land like this?" I hope you can appreciate Moses is getting a little snarky here. All right? He just continues leaning in, right? These are a bunch of babies. They keep saying to me, give us meat to eat, give us meat to eat. And then he speaks maybe the most true words that he says in his whole rant and tirade. He says, I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. I wonder how many times this week we've been asking ourselves that question. I cannot carry this by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. Haywood is a resilient county. Hashtag Haywood Strong. We did this 3 years ago. We know how to do this. Haywood's not standing at their tent doors complaining. If anything, in my interactions with folks, we've had to convince people to accept help. I heard a story about a man who came to a place where they were handing food out. He took one of the cans off a shelf, looked at it, and said, somebody needs this more than me. One of his friends came along shortly after and said, that man ain't got nothing. Haywood Strong, the vine is a group of naturally powerful responders. We created a database of everybody in the church that we had information on. Within 24 hours, everybody was accounted for one way or another from a team of folks who was checking on people. We made a call out for Frog Level Brewery that they needed help. Cleaned up, had folks showing up that day, the next day to help. They were there. Trucks came, thousands of dollars worth of donated goods from all around the country. Put out the call on Facebook. Folks came, helped unload it, helped organize it, which was amazing. The vine knows how to respond. Pastor Owen reminded us the other day, this isn't one big tragedy. It's tens of thousands of big tragedies, worlds of their own that have been upended here in our front yard, here in our midst. We cannot carry, rescue, clean up, feed all these people, all of ourselves. I cannot believe how the death toll keeps rising. I cannot believe how much was destroyed. I cannot believe some of the stories that we have heard about where they have found people. I cannot believe that we have to rebuild again after 3 years. The burden is too heavy. We will feel the burden of what's going on. Helene's wrath on Haywood County. We will feel the burden when we hit a wall. Like one police officer I talked to who worked for 72 hours straight, had maybe one sort of 8-hour chunk off. Just numb. Had been working too hard. Brain fuzz, right? Our bodies begin to shut down if we push ourselves too hard. We'll feel the burden when we feel helpless. We can't call anyone, right? We can't make plans. We can't go out like we wish that we could. I'm stuck. Kept from doing what I want to be doing right now. We'll feel it when we feel that confliction between fixing our own home and the things that happened there or somebody who lost everything. We will feel the burden of it when we hear even one story that might feel like a world destroyed and we don't know where to begin with it. What do we do when we're faced with such utter tragedy and destruction? The invitation from our passage this morning is that we join Moses and we receive the gift of our dependence. Dependence. I am not enough for this is a gift. Like Moses, the vine is specifically called to this time, this moment, this place, right? That's not an accident that we're here. The circumstances are overwhelming. We are not enough. And so we need to receive the gift of our dependence. Here are some things that we see from Moses' response this morning that we can take away for our time here. The first is, we need to know whose responsibility this is. So healing Haywood County, it's a big job. It is not on our shoulders. It's not on FEMA's shoulders. It's not on the Baptist Mission's shoulders. It's not on Anglican Relief and Development Fund's shoulders. Healing Haywood is on God's shoulders. If we forget that, we will be crushed by the weight of what the next years will bring. Moses colorfully reminds God and himself that this is true. If we don't do the same, our church's natural, boundless ache to bring healing will overflow its own banks and cause its own destruction in us, in here. This work is God's responsibility. So how do we remind ourselves of that? Be with God with our burdens. The most important thing we will do over these next months and years is to take space with God. That will ready us for whatever it is that he is sending us out into. We see a counterfeit version of this in our story this morning. You know, there's Moses' response, but that comes after the Israelites and how they were complaining. That's seen as not the right way to do it. Moses' is seen as the right way to do it. But they look eerily familiar. One big difference, Moses says, God, why have you done this to me? Lord, what in the world is going on? And so on and so forth. God's name is conspicuously absent from all of the complaining of Israel. We need to be with the Lord with our burdens. We can say, God, this is yours. How are you moving me? So we need to remember that it's his responsibility. We need to expect unexpected support. So notice God's response in our passage this morning. You know, you might, when I was reading this for the first time to begin reflecting on it, I thought God was about to come down hard on Moses. I mean, he is seriously leaning into some gritty complaining here. But God does not chastise Moses. He provides exactly what he needs, but wasn't asking for. Moses didn't know enough to know what he needed in this moment. He said, God, bring the meat. How am I going to provide meat for everybody? He says, God, take these people away from me. This isn't something that I should be doing. He even goes so far as to say, God, kill me now if this is what my future is going to hold. I don't want to see it. And I hope you notice the interesting detail, you know, oftentimes thought that Moses is the author of this book, right? Christian Jewish traditions tend to say Moses was the author. This is embarrassing for him to say that he got to this point. There's a purpose in it. Be honest. Be imperfect with God, right? God values life more than Moses is valuing his own life here. That's not the point. Be messy with the Lord. This is the way that we will get to the depths of where we really are. And that's the way that God will bring unexpected support into that very place. Can he smack us over the side of the head with something even if we don't ask for it? Absolutely. Does he much prefer to follow our own curiosity? And once we see what our needs are, provide for it? Absolutely. Be honest with God. Be willing to be gritty with him. Be imperfect with him. Moses did not pretend like the situation was better than it was. Now, I don't think we're likely to minimize our situation here, but oftentimes when somebody asks, how are you doing? I find myself saying, I'm okay. I'm good. Is that the honest truth? Usually not. I find myself polishing up a situation that is not what I am making it. Like I said, we're not likely to minimize what's going on out there, but we are likely to minimize what's going on in here. We don't need to unload that on every single person, maybe, but who are you unloading that on? God provides the body of Christ to lean on. Are you unloading that on the Lord in every gritty, imperfect, honest detail? This is how we receive God's unexpected support. Do not censor yourself with the Lord. Lastly, we can expect to have a clearer vision. So notice the funny ending to our reading today. I didn't really know what to do with this for a while, but it was interesting. You know, the whole Eldad, me dad prophesying in the camp. Joshua comes and says, Moses, these guys are going rogue over here. You should, shut that down. Moses all of a sudden is in a place where he's not responding to kids asking for scrambled or gooey eggs anymore. He has a little bit more buffer. Are you jealous for me, Joshua? I wish that everybody would be filled with the Spirit like these men are. Moses not only has more internal buffer, but he gets this beautiful prophetic vision, this prophetic longing for something that would be fulfilled on Pentecost. He gets to click in to what God is doing overarchingly in the world because he's gritty, honest with the Lord in his circumstances. We can expect the Lord to give us grace for the moment, but connect us into his story of grace that he is working in all of Haywood County here. We cannot heal all of Haywood County, but we can move towards the one person that's in front of us and bring grace to them. One commentator reflected on this story this way. He says, "What matters most to God is ensuring a way of life that reflects the worth of his image bearers, their importance in his redemptive work, and his goal of reconciling a broken world." This is his responsibility. He will provide for you, and he will draw the vine into his vision for what's going on here. I promise you, we at the Vine will listen. I promise you, we will get it wrong, but we will listen. This funny old idea that I think encapsulates a lot of this is this word perish. I don't know how familiar we are with that word. It's an old English word that today it usually references a church building and maybe the congregation that gathers there. But historically, the geographical area around the church was referenced with the word perish, right? St. Matthew's Parish. That means everybody around that church building in that town was, in a way, their responsibility to care for them physically and spiritually. They were under-shepherds to the good shepherd for that physical location. Be where your feet are planted. Whether that individual was a churchgoer or not, you would move towards them for their well-being. The Vine is by no accident here in Haywood County at this time, specifically here in Clyde at this time. We have an opportunity to show love in a variety of ways. This is our parish. What that means is that it's not all up to you. It's not all up to us. There are plenty of other churches doing good work around here that we can connect in with. Plenty of non-churches. It is not all up to us, but this is where we are planted. This is our parish. So we can do for that one person what we wish we could do for everybody. There's this tradition in parishes called beating the bounds, where once a year the church would all process and walk around their parish, be it a town or some other County, something like that. They would walk around and pray for protection, for God's grace in that next year. Maybe we don't walk around our county or our town, but as we go out into Clyde, we are beating the bounds. We are praying for God's grace in this home, this street, this person, this neighborhood, because this is our parish. And we are going through a lot. Let us receive the gift of our dependence, of our limitations, because this is God's work. So I want us to close by turning to somebody around you and saying, you are dependent. Go right now. You are dependent. You are dependent. Keep it up. We need to remember to receive this gift. Thank you for that, Mark. Jesus, give us the grace of remembering our dependence. We pray in your holy and precious name. Amen.